Numbers don't lie, do they? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back with you in the studio. You're sounding good tonight.
Well, thank you very much. You are too, as well. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you get things and you start looking at it, and we've talked about this issue before, Charles, in this program, and you start thinking that there's got to be something that's going on here. You start seeing these various articles, these various things that the news is bringing up and the media is making lots of hay over, and you start thinking that these are just pieces to a larger picture, that the puzzle is not quite complete, and these are not necessarily just standalone issues. So that's why we analyze things. And we've been analyzing for a while now some of the issues surrounding our Second Amendment rights. And for our listeners out there, you know, in the past we've talked about issues. We've talked a little bit about Fast and Furious. We've talked about the UN gun grabs. We have talked about even things like the Trayvon Martin shooting in Florida and how some of those things have linkages. Well, Chuck, it looks like we're not talking in a vacuum anymore.
No.
Because it looks as if there are some other folks out there who are actually paying attention to this and are starting to put it together when they start hearing things and start looking at data and realizing that something's not right with some of these pictures. And as a matter of fact, you pointed this out to me in your research, an article from the American Thinker website dated Sunday, July the 15th by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Lipkus, I think is the way you pronounce his last name, called Taking Down the Second Amendment, the Connection Between Fast and Furious and the Trayvon Martin Case. Well, I'm glad to see that Mr. Lipkus is on the bandwagon. But I'm going to kind of let you roll with this, Charles. This was your catch. And really, in most of our analysis in relation to this, you've had pretty spot on in how you've been putting these pieces together.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that there was some kind of underlying motive going on with Fast and Furious. It wasn't just to provide guns to Mexican cartel members for no obvious reason. The claim that it was a continuation of a Bush-era policy is simply silly, because the Bush-era policy was designed to catch, even though I personally have problems with this, was designed to catch specific individuals, and in fact, the guns were marked with GPS equipment and that kind of thing. They actually had RFID chips embedded in them where they could be traced. That cannot be said for the Fast and Furious guns. They were simply allowed to go across the border. They knew full well that these were going to show up in Mexican criminal cartel. They were going to show up in crimes and that kind of thing. And you have to ask yourself, why did the federal government want guns to show up in Mexico, bought in the United States? And why did they suppress the attempts by the gun dealers to comply with federal law and to stop these purchases? And you have to say to yourself, okay, what were they thinking? And the answer, according to this article in the American Thinker, is that what they were trying to do, this was Eric Holder's attempt to get a complete gun ban across by creating a hue and cry about all these semi-automatic weapons that were going across the border. The number of inflated numbers were used. And here's a quote. The administration made its case by citing a GAO report. The number of guns that are used by the drug cartels against the police and the military, 90% of them come from America, Hillary Clinton declared.
Yes.
Now, the author of this, Jeff Lipkus, basically says the number was too good to be true. The report actually states that of about 30,000 firearms seized from criminals in 2008, the Mexican government submitted only 7,200 or 25% to the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The authorities knew or suspected that the rest came from their own, meaning Mexican, military, police, or overseas suppliers.
Indeed.
This is where the truth lies, Barry. Why would you pay $700 for an AK-47 stripped down in an American gun shop when you can buy a full auto version from an international gun dealer for $150 on the black market?
Yeah, well, because you just want to be a good citizen, maybe?
Yeah, right. you want to make sure all the paperwork's filled out on your illegally bought and transported across international lines weapon.
That's right.
Listen, let me tell you what this entails. Let's talk about Mexico for a minute and their gun control. Remember, Mexico went through a long period of revolution in the mid-1800s up until about in the 1920s. There's a movie out, and I can't think of the name of it now, on the Christus War. That has to do with the fact that after the Mexican Revolution in the 1910s, some people grabbed a hold of the Mexican government who basically attempted to wipe out the Catholic Church. And people just simply didn't put up with it. And because they were armed, you had guys like Pancho Villa. You had guys like Emilio Zapata. I'm not going to sit here and go into Mexican history. What's interesting about this, by the way, is that Mexicans have no clue of their own history. But the first Marxist revolution, really, in the North American hemisphere was in Mexico, because the party that took over was essentially a Marxist party. And if you've ever been to Mexico and hung around and not gone in the tourist areas, you can see some of the symbolism. I mean, I'm talking back in the 80s. Things have changed a little bit. That's 30 years ago. But I went around. There's a lot of the same symbolic type paintings with that. They have pictures of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin, you know, looking off in the distance, those kinds of things, looking forward. They had the same kind of symbolism, except with Mexican heroes on their park benches and that kind of thing.
Right, and as a matter of fact, for our listeners, if there's more interest in finding out a little bit more about that history, the recent movie that just came out called For Greater Glory is basically the retelling of that war. So that got a lot of play as Christian film reviewers and critics, being a very good movie.
We have a common friend who went to see it and recommended it highly.
There you go.
So apparently it's a very good movie. And so I intend to watch it.
You're on the program now.
That's right. I intend to see it the minute it comes out on Netflix.
There you go.
Because I think it's already cleared out. You know, it was an independent film, so it's already cleared out of local theaters, and I missed it as usual, you know, because I don't go to the movies that much. But what's gone on here is that there's an ulterior motive. Now, what the author is doing here is making a connection between what he calls the Chicago Mafia, which is the Rahm Emanuel, Eric Holder, Barack Obama attempts to ban all private ownership of guns, and the Trayvon Martin case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, a lot of the spin that came out immediately after the whole Trayvon Martin case, and you'll still hear it. I was watching Black Entertainment Television or something the other day, and they were talking about the good news is that George Zimmerman is still in jail. The bad news is he's got a $1 million bond, that kind of thing. This was on a news program, so much for unbiased reporting. But the fact is that what's going on here, they would love to leverage that case into completely wiping out the ability for people to protect themselves by owning a weapon and being able to use it in self-defense. We still don't know all the facts of the Trayvon Martin case, but little by little by little, the facts are leaking out, and this is looking more and more and more like an attempt to railroad George Zimmerman. I refrain from making a judgment on this until a lot more information came out. And as I'm seeing the pictures of Zimmerman with his head cracked open in the back from having his head rammed against the pavement, I'll tell you what, if somebody's sitting on my chest, ramming my head against the pavement, and I've got a pistol in my pocket, and the other guy goes for it, I'm using it.
Oh, of course.
And that's the whole point. Eric Holder's and those who want to ban guns don't want me to be able to have a pistol in my pocket. And that's the bottom line here. Litkus goes through the record of Trayvon Martin, the fact that he was kicked out of school for being a thief, the fact that he had THC in his blood in his autopsy, the fact that he was just kind of meandering around the neighborhood. It's a 15-minute walk from the condo he was in, and 45 minutes later, he's meandering around the neighborhood. Why? Walking around in the rain? I know when I'm out walking and I want to get home, I don't walk in the rain. Well, I beeline home. So, again, different strokes for different folks. But the fact is, there were issues there that the media is attempting to cover up, because the bottom line is we've got to put a stop to the ability of people to defend themselves against attack. That is a job for government as far as they're concerned. And they really want to paint the picture that anyone who wants to use a gun to protect themselves is a vigilante. Now, why would the government want to do that? Well, it gives law enforcement at whatever level the upper hand in any conflict. Now, I'm not saying that you should use your gun in any conflict that you have with law enforcement, local or federal. But let's face facts here, Barry. The reason that the battles of Lexington and Concord were fought in 1775, the opening battles of the Revolutionary War, was because the British were coming to seize arms and ammunition because it was becoming, quote-unquote, too dangerous to the King George III's regime to have private ownership of weapons, including artillery pieces. That was just too dangerous. We're seeing this again. This is a repeat now, what, 237 years later?
Yeah.
We're seeing the same rhetoric being used.
It's
so,
just amazing. But the point is, it's not amazing because that's the whole idea behind using rhetoric or what we call propaganda. You can't make your point with data. Then you try to convince people by using propaganda means.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to be quite honest. I see the connection with the Trayvon Martin case. But as I've pointed out to you, the real connection, because the real bottom line here is the Fast and Furious was designed to get the UN Small Arms Treaty ratified.
Yes.
There's no doubt about this. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing anybody talking about this. If you look at the timing, that UN Small Arms Treaty has been under negotiation for years. It's been, I'm trying to remember the year that it actually came out of the UN. Hillary Clinton has determined that she's going to push it through, and I really think that Fast and Furious was designed to be timed correctly in order to create the hue and cry from both the Mexican government, the pressure from the Mexican government, and pressure from the top, from the executive branch, and they'd say, well, you know, we really have no choice. We have to keep good relations with Mexico. Well, this has nothing to do with Mexico. It has nothing to do with American arms dealers. It has to do with banning sales of small arms so that people can overthrow dictators. And it's designed, America was supposed to be the bad guy, and because we were the bad guy and letting all these guns go over into Mexico, we were going to be the big guys and say, you know, in order to fix this problem and end international violence, we're going to ban the ownership of handguns and semi-automatic weapons over a certain caliber. You'd be allowed to keep shotguns and 22 pistols and that kind of thing. But you would no longer be allowed, if you have an M1, you'd have to turn that in. If you have an SKS or an AK-47, you'd have to turn that in. You might be able to keep a high-powered hunting rifle under certain circumstances if you had it under lock and key in pieces, like in Washington, D.C., or like the Chicago laws that Eric Holder was involved in making sure got enforced. Barry, this is nothing more or less than an attempt to strip the arms out of Americans who might object to certain things that the federal government's doing to the point of actually threatening to take up those arms in defense of those rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know what, Chuck? You said it there just a minute ago. You said that it was designed to create a hue and cry at the right time. Well, a hue and cry has gone out now, but I don't think that the administration likes the timing too much because the hue and cry now is for impeachment of Attorney General Eric Holder because the data wasn't backing up what they were trying to set up with their propaganda.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's become clear he openly lied to Congress. There's no doubt about that. That's why the contempt vote. That's why you saw the dog and pony show of the Congressional Black Caucus walking out. All that business. They basically know that they have the goods on Eric Holder. And everybody wants to make it look like some kind of a racial thing. Sorry, guys, it's not working. He lied to Congress. And in fact, Hillary Clinton is also lying. Big shock. It seems to run in that family.
Yes.
You know, lying under oath and not under oath. And at least she doesn't bite her lower lip and get a really sincere look on her face. But, and she's not quite as skilled at it as Bill was. But the fact is, they're both lying. The numbers aren't there. And the real purpose is to ban guns in the United States of America by treaty.
Of course, which gets us into a discussion about the Supremacy Clause of Article 6 of the Constitution, which we've mentioned before on this program.
That's right. And unfortunately, we can't go into it because we are completely out of time.
Of course. So So stay with us, and we may be talking about that more in a future program.
Definitely. Okay. Be with us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.